And now it's time to talk money with The Motley Fool. If we had to pick a theme for today, it's probably liquid investments, and by that I mean oil and beer. Both are boosting my fantasy portfolio at the moment, and I'll knock on wood as I say this. Tomorrow's the 20th anniversary of Black Monday. What have we learned since the bottom fell out of the market? And I need your advice. There's still $1,000 in play money to invest. Where should I put it? 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. And of course, if you have questions for David Gardner on market trends, investment philosophies, or just how to get started with a portfolio, we'll take those as well. David Gardner joins us from Fool HQ in Alexandria, Virginia. David, nice to have you on the program again.
Neil, it's good to talk to you, and happy pre-Halloween. We may not get to spend time together that day, so what are you dressing up as?
I'm dressing up as a radio host.
Okay, sounds wonderful. I'll be a bull.
You'll be a bull. Oh, how about that? That's appropriate. But speaking of my fantasy portfolio and being bullish, overall it's up 20% right now. That initial faux $9,000 is worth about $10,840. Not bad.
Well, I think you have me on occasionally to talk, Neil, but this is really your time in our time together because I think you should self-reflect here.
Self-reflect. Boy, Apple was a good investment.
And it really has been. It's just tremendous. These days it's worth $150 billion, and that's a company that was worth less than half that about a year ago. So It's just amazing to think of the value creation that has happened at Apple over the last year, and I'm so glad that you've benefited from it because you picked a stock that you know and that you a company you like, right?
Yes, and that you poo-pooed at the time. So I was very happy about that.
Yeah, and you know, I'm wrong all the time. If I can just be right 51% of the time, I'll feel pretty good about myself.
Now, it's up more than 94% since January. I've nearly doubled my money. It's too bad it's not real cash. And we're waiting for another big launch next week, October 26th, of Leopard, Apple's new operating system.
Yeah, and it's one that will make it possible for people who own an Apple to make really easy use of Windows, and I think it's a smart move for Apple overall. I just think Apple's incredibly smart, and the reason that I haven't liked the stock as much in the past is just because once a company gets worth more than $100 billion, I've always said it kind of goes dead to me a little bit because the opportunity for it to double or triple again, usually you're talking about something that's a lot harder to do than to double or triple when, let's say, you were worth just $1 or maybe even just $10 billion. So, you know, once something gets really big, it starts to get less interesting to me. But I think Apple has very clearly defied that past trend that I've seen, and I really wish Apple the best. I've always so much admired the brand, and I've written some very positive things about Steve Jobs over the years.
Well, let's talk about another of the big performers in my portfolio, ConocoPhillips. It's up more than 40% this year. Is this a reflection of the high cost of oil?
It really is. I mean, ConocoPhillips is a tremendously well-managed company, and you know Warren Buffett is a backer, and you've got all the right dynamics in place. It's very unlikely that the oil price, the price of gas, is going to decline meaningfully going forward. So you have the primary business of this company and of an industry being a very important, relevant commodity that appears as if it will grow in value and price or trend that way over the years. And that's just a great dynamic. ConocoPhillips has been a great performer. You know, among the Motley Fool community, we have thousands of people who rate stocks, and it's one of the highest rated stocks even today at these prices, $87.50 or so. This is another mega cap. Neil, you're loading up on large companies. ConocoPhillips is worth about $130 billion. So we're talking about, again, a very strong and now stable company.
Well, of course, we want to get your recommendations for that last bit of money I want to fantasy invest, but I have to give out the lawyer clause. This is a fantasy portfolio with imaginary money. Neither David nor I will offer advice on whether to buy or sell any particular stock. Most important, I am a beginner at this. Keep in mind, it's all for fun. This is not meant to be financial advice and will not be a recommendation for or against any investment. And by moving right along to some of my dogs, the biggest one of which was a company I know and love dearly, Marvel Comics.
Yeah, and Marvel is a company that I really do believe will be a good performer for you. I think that I know you earlier referenced we're coming up on the 20th anniversary of Black Monday, and you know, I think a reminder for us 20 years later is that while you did watch your stock sell off a lot that day, and we will see bear markets from time to time. We had one this summer, by the way. You know, General Electric, for example, declined 17% back on Black Monday. But if you're still around and just held the 20 years since, you've made quick calculation, you've made 15 times your money by just buying and holding over that 20-year period since. So I think that it is in general a reminder that if you have a good company that is profitable, as Marvel is, and has a relevant business, and Marvel is very relevant, both with their movies and the increasing numbers of TV shows featuring Spider-Man and others, and of course just their toy business, I think you're going to do okay. I think 2008 will be a really interesting year for Marvel because for the first time it becomes the backer of its own movies. When Iron Man hits the screen with Robert Downey Jr., Gwyneth Paltrow, and a pretty good cast, Marvel, for the first time, will not have Sony Pictures or another large company footing most of the bill. Marvel will be 100% the beneficiary, will sink or swim based on the performance of those kinds of movies. So it's a big shift for Marvel. It'll be an interesting 2008.
That sinking part scares me. Let me also ask you, 20 years after Black Monday, what lessons do we learn from this other than to hang on and not be too depressed by gyrations in the market?
Well, I think, and we always have to keep pinching ourselves to remind ourselves of this, especially in our communications, media, technology-heavy world today. I really think you have to get away from the day-to-day if you want to make good decisions about your money. We've often made a joke at the Motley Fool over the years that nobody is quoting you the value of your house, changing on a daily or weekly basis, or God forbid, a minute-to-minute basis, which is what happens on the stock market all the time. And so because that does happen on the stock market, the media tends to cover it in such a short-term fashion. And even the average mutual fund today, Neil, trades 100% of its stocks a year. In other words, on average, it fully sells out and buys something else across its whole portfolio. And so we have a world that I would describe as awash in short-term thinking, whether it's the professionals or the media. And I truly believe that if you start indulging in that way yourself, you will end up making poor decisions. You'll keep looking backwards at what has already happened, and you'll get too caught up, and you'll end up, you know, buying high and selling low. And so I really believe that the number one lesson that we all should learn is to take a step back and to ensure that we're thinking in terms of the real investment horizons we have. If you're 50 years old today, I think you're investing for the next four, maybe even five decades. I really don't think we should be getting too caught up in whether or not the company hit its earnings at the end of today and ends up trading up or down 10% because of what it did based on this quarter's earnings. And that's certainly that's very au courant right now because October's a big earnings month and lots of reporting going on.
The next four or five decades, I'd like to put you in touch with my actuary. Anyway, let's see if we get some callers on the line. 800-989-8255. Our guest, of course, is David Gardner of The Motley Fool. And let's talk to a caller from Union County, Iowa. And are you a Marcia or a Marcia?
Marcy.
Marcy, go ahead, please.
I wanted to do this for 5 months. I suggest you take your $10,000 or your $1,000 and invest it in a socially conscious fund. There are some very good companies that have funds that are made up of companies that focus on socially conscious stocks. Like, mine's up 10% since June.
That's good.
What's yours, Marcy?
Pardon?
What is the fund that you own, the one that's done well for you?
I did mine through TIAA Cref.
Well, I think that it's a very valid suggestion, Neil. I would also recommend you take it under advisement and weigh it against some other considerations. For us at The Motley Fool, we often teach people to invest directly into stocks that they like. Usually the companies that you buy from represent your view of the socially conscious world. And so often if you allow your dollars, your investment dollars, to follow your consumer dollars, you'll be pretty consonant with yourself, and assuming you're a socially conscious individual, that's a great way to do it. Now, with that said, Marcy...
And I only did 8%.
Well, and I totally understand that. I mean, for a lot of us, we have to ask ourselves, how much of a fan am I of investing overall? Am I going to be spending much time looking at this? Do I even want to buy stocks directly? Or do I just want to buy mutual funds? And if I buy mutual funds, maybe at the very least I should know two things. First, what is the goal of that fund? And you know, how are they measuring that? For example, what is socially conscious and what is not? And what are their actual criteria underneath that label? And then second, you always want to know, how much is my fund charging me? one year after another? That's the great hidden question for most investors. Whenever my brother and I go out and speak in public, we ask people to raise their hands if they know the expense ratio of their mutual fund, their biggest holding often in their 401k plan. And most of the people don't raise their hands in that room because most people don't realize that a portion of your holding is being siphoned off every year to pay the fund's costs, whether it's marketing the Super Bowl or paying its managers. And so you want to be knowledgeable about what that percentage is. And usually you want that percentage, I would suggest, to be a 0.5% or less per year, the expense ratio of the fund. So there are a couple fund considerations for you.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Marcy, thanks very much for the call and for the advice. We appreciate it. Marcy calling us from Iowa. If you'd like to join our conversation, give us a call at 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email is talk@npr.org. Again, our guest is David Gardner, co-founder of The Motley Fool, with us from Fool Global Headquarters in Alexandria, Virginia. I'm Neil Conan. You're listening to Talk of the Nation, which is coming to you from NPR News. And let's see if we get another caller on the line. This is Giles. Giles with us from Wilmington, North Carolina.
Hi. I wanted to suggest for your last $1,000 a rollover CD.
Hmm.
And that's a way to keep your money liquid so you can take advantage of, as they say, straw hats in January or even strawberries in January. If there's a stock that's really good that falls for, I don't know, say it's quarterly earnings, but you know that it's a really good stock, then you'll be able to buy it. So staying liquid, a rollover CD is a 30-day CD, and if you don't take it out at the end of the month, they pay you the interest, and it just goes for another month. I mean, if you set it up for a 1 month, you can do it.
I understand. So, David Gardner, is this a good way to park, a good place to park your money while you're waiting to make a decision?
Well, I think in general it's good advice for life. I think it's nice to think that the money that you don't have that you're maybe waiting to invest is garnering some kind of a return and is safe. In a sense, Neil, I think we could think of your portfolio experiment as already having done that. You could maybe mentally at least think back and think that $1,000 has been sitting in that
mm-hmm.
rollover CD, and in effect you're wanting now to take advantage of anything that you or our community out there see out there in the market. So that's my reflection.
Thanks for the advice, Giles.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Here's Scott in Portland, Oregon, emails us, try a low-tech play. The dry shippers are red hot, forecasting earnings increases out for the next few years. I've done very well with XL Maritime Carriers. Dry shippers, these are people presumably who send materials across the oceans.
Yeah, dry bulk shipping companies. And over the last year, these stocks have, I mean, there are not a large number of them. So we're not talking about something like technology where you could identify more than 1,000 companies that fit that bill. But of the ones that are out there, and there are maybe a dozen or so out on the market today, they're up about 300%. I mean, they've
wow.
just about, they've almost quadrupled as a group over the last year. A few of them pulling that average way up, having done even better. But, I mean, certainly it has already been a big move. In fact, they're up almost 40% or so in just the last month alone. So you have somebody there who is playing momentum, and I'm not here to talk that down at all. I would suggest with your money, Neil, you end up investing in something that you, if you don't feel like you understand it well as a consumer, a hobbyist, or a professional, at the very least, I'd want you to feel somewhat passionate about following it and learning more about it. That's what we often say. You know, Peter Lynch, the great investment manager and author, wrote, we should buy what we know.
Mm.
And we generally agree with Peter there, but if you're not going to buy what you know, at least buy what you will enjoy following and will learn from over the course of time. So if you feel that way about dry bulk shipping, let's take a look.
Mr. Excitement, speaking about something I enjoy, one of my stocks is beer. We mentioned that earlier. I have Anheuser-Busch in the fantasy portfolio. It's up about 5%, but the whole industry seems to be shrinking, and indeed, new companies combining now to combat Anheuser-Busch.
Yeah, and you know, that That often happens when there is such a strong and dominant company out there. Its competitors feel like they need to band together. I mean, we saw that dynamic with Microsoft and Linux, or that the Microsoft Justice Department investigation, where you had a whole bunch of people that all wanted to, almost like an Agatha Christie novel, everybody murdered the person on the Orient Express because everybody wanted a stab at it. And I think that that can happen with single dominant players in industries. So Anheuser-Busch is such a company, although compared, just in relative terms, I always enjoy this little game, Neil. If you had to put a quick number on what percentage the size of Apple Anheuser-Busch represents today in terms of its stock market value, why don't you just guess? It's not fair to you to do it all, but why would I be fair to you?
Why would you be fair? I would say that Anheuser-Busch, Apple's a pretty big company, but I would say Anheuser-Busch is a bigger company.
And amazingly, Anheuser-Busch is worth about a quarter of what Apple Computer is worth today.
Really?
It's worth about $40 billion. I would not have gotten that right myself, but because I'm looking at it on screen right now because we're talking about it, I see that. And so sometimes it's helpful for us investors to look at the big picture, and the stat I love is market capitalization, which is just the price tag on these companies. You multiply that share price times the number of shares gives you the market cap. And wow, just $37 billion when Apple is $150 billion. So, you know, room to run there probably.
Room to run there probably, yeah, indeed. And Apple's what now, the third biggest computer company? I think it just moved into third place. So clearly one industry is a lot bigger than the other, but boy, you'd think beer, what a bottomless pit of profit that must be.
You would, and there are other interesting companies out there. Foster's Group Limited, that's an ADR. You can buy Foster's, you know, that's been a great one. Boston Beer Company, ticker symbol is SAM. You may be familiar with that one.
I may be,
and,
yes.
And there are some other international plays. I'm not great at Spanish because I took French in high school, but Compañía de Bebidas das Américas, which is an ADR as well, the ticker symbol ABV. That company is in Brazil and elsewhere in the Americas, very well-liked stock in the industry, too. So there are always good ideas around other good ideas.
David, thanks so much. We have to leave it there.
Fool on.
David Gardner, co-founder of The Motley Fool. He joined us, as always, from Fool headquarters in Alexandria, Virginia. We'll talk with him next month, at least we hope to. In the meantime, anyone can follow along with that fantasy portfolio of mine. There's a link at npr.org/blogofthenation. Ira Flatow's here tomorrow. I'll see you Tuesday. Lynn Neary's here Monday. It's the Talk of the Nation. From NPR News, I'm Neil Conan in Washington.